couple of verses in chapter 35. Isaiah 35. Look at verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 35, verses 4 and 5. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The Scriptures has much to say about those who are deaf or have no hearing, and the blind, especially the book of Isaiah. You can go all the way through and see much, read much that is said concerning the deaf and the blind. The Lord Jesus Christ is who this is talking about there in chapter 29. Says in that day, or that is the day of the Lord, the day of visitation when he visits this earth, that day, says your God will come. It says the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Now he did that. It's recorded in the Gospels. Miracles, such as giving the blind their sight, the deaf their hearing, and perhaps those miracles occur more than any other. He healed quite a few, along with the lepers and so forth. When they asked him if he was the Christ, John the Baptist sent two men to say, are you the Christ? Are you the one we're looking for? We look for another. He gave these two proofs, or two of the proofs were this. He said that you tell John the blind see and the deaf hear. And the Lord restored many with this physical affliction, hearing and eyesight, many. But he has restored much more with spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness. You're looking at one. I once was deaf, but now I hear. Oh, I'm going deaf physically. Some of us, Brother Charles, are literally hard of hearing. But I hear all I need to hear, Brother Charles, now. There was a time when I didn't hear at all. But I do now. I once was blind, but now I see. I'm going blind physically. I take these glasses off and you're a blur. You really are. Terribly nearsighted. It runs in my family. But I once was spiritually blind. I mean totally blind. Couldn't see a thing. But now I see. Now I see. Did you notice here in chapter 29 of Isaiah, look at it. Did you notice what he said the deaf would hear? He said the deaf in that day, the deaf hear. What do they hear? What is the first thing a deaf person hears, spiritually speaking? Look at verse 18. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. He's talking about spiritual deafness or lack of hearing. The deaf hear the words of the book. And our Lord said, he said, many people have ears to hear, but they don't hear. having ears to hear, but they don't hear. Listen to this. And eyes to see, but they don't see. Listen to this from Matthew 13:15. Okay? Listen very carefully. Our Lord said this. He said, "This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear." Have you ever been blind? If you haven't, you don't see now. Our Lord came and He said, those that, because you say you see, your sin remaineth. He said, "I have come that they that see not might see." Have you ever been deaf spiritually? If not, you haven't heard the words of the book. You haven't been given spiritual ears. Well, that's man by nature. That's man by nature. Man, did you hear what He said there in Matthew 13? He said, they have closed their eyes. Man by nature, when it comes to this book, at least certain parts of it, when it comes to this book, man by nature does not like what it says about God, particularly the Old Testament. That's the reason there's not much preaching going on today from the Old Testament. They say God has changed. He's now all love. He doesn't just slay people right and left like He did back in the old Bible. Well, the Lord Himself said, "I don't change." And the Revelation says He's going to slay some folk. Well, men don't like that. They think that just God is just too holy, too sovereign, too just. They don't like that, so they stop their ears to that sort of preaching. They stop their eyes. They close their eyes to what this book says about God. And men by nature do not like what it says about man. Men by nature and women, when I say men, when the Bible says man, it means you too, ladies. Men by nature do not like what it says about man. Filthy, wretched, vile, no goodness, a worm, a dog. Don't like that. So they won't hear that. And the Scripture says they have itching ears. I'm itching to hear a few compliments. That's what itching is. Were your ears burning? They say, are your ears itching? We were talking about you. Paul said they have itching ears and they heap to themselves teachers. Prophesy smooth things. And they shut their ears to the truth about what man is, what God says. They close their eyes to what the Scriptures, how it reads. Natural man refuses to see or hear it until the Lord opens his eyes. Until the Lord opens their ears. Until the Lord transforms their minds. Changes their mind. That's what repent means. Have your mind changed. Changes the mind. Opens the eyes. Until God shows a man who God really is. Until that, he won't see. He just refuses to see. You can show them in black and white. This is what it says about the Lord. We have a different God. That's what they'll conclude. They will not see themselves as they are. James said it. He said they're like people who behold themselves in a glass, or that is a mirror. That's what this book is called. A mirror to show us ourselves. What? Show us how pretty we are? No. To show us the blemishes. And men, James said, they behold them like men beholding themselves in a glass. And it clearly reveals what we are. And then go away and forget what manner of man they were. Forget. Well, our Lord must open the ears and open the eyes. He who made the ear must give it hearing. He who made the eye must give it sight. And he said, if your eye be single, the whole body is full of light. He who made the heart must open it. He who made the mind must transform it. It's been deadened. It's dead to God. It must be given life. He who is life must give it. All right, in Mark chapter 7, look over at Mark chapter 7, okay? That's the necessary introduction I just gave. Because, see, his words, the word of God is spirit. Everything written in the book has primarily, listen to me, everything written in the book has primarily a spiritual application. If you miss that, you don't understand what this book is saying. See, a whole world has gone after and taken up with signs and wonders and miracles and all that. But they were done. Christ performed miracles and signs and wonders to illustrate a greater work than that. Christ gave eyes to the physically blind to illustrate or picture or prefigure a greater work than that. Well, you remember Sherry, when the lame man was put down through the roof of the house and the Lord said to all those around him, said, you remember, he said, your sins be forgiven them. And people just got all up in the air and all. He said, well, which is easier? You remember that? You remember that, John? He said, which is easier? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, get up and walk? Far more difficult to put away sin. Far more difficult. Now, here are two examples in the Scriptures of, or an example of each, of a blind man, a deaf person being healed, and a blind person being healed. And these are clear illustrations of how God heals the spiritual hearing and the spiritual eyesight. This happened to me. This is my story. This is my song. Praising this Savior all the day long. All right, let's look at it, all right? And they're strikingly similar. Strikingly similar to each other. You're going to be amazed how similar they are. Maybe because the eyes and the ears are connected. They're vital to each other. All right, Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Mark 7, verse 31. Again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment of his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. They brought to our Lord one that was deaf, one who could not hear. I don't mean he had a hearing aid. He was deaf. When the Scripture says he was deaf, he couldn't hear. Like when it says man's dead, that means he ain't got no life. All right? That's what it said. He was deaf. These bogus miracles that go on today. You know, a fella, you've seen them, you know, the woman's hard of hearing, a fella goes up and whacks them on the side of the head. But you'd hear something, too, if somebody
boxed your ears.
What do you hear? A ringing. Well, here's a ringing now. This man was deaf. Okay? Deaf. Stone deaf. The old saying. And they brought him to Christ. They brought him to Christ to touch him, to heal him. Now listen, this is the picture. If a person is going to receive spiritual hearing, they're going to have to come to Christ. They're going to have to be brought to Christ. They're going to have to hear Christ speak. Maybe some other fellows tried. There was one time when the apostles did try to remove demons, and they couldn't. And what did they do? They brought him to Christ. That's where he should have been brought in the first place. They brought this fellow to Christ, and because Christ said, "Now my sheep will hear my voice." They don't need to hear yours anyway, but they need to hear mine. And they'll hear it. If a person is going to be saved, they're going to have to hear the gospel. That does away with all this foolish notion. It's a primitive Baptist doctrine that if you're elect, you're going to be saved no matter what. No, if you're elect, you're going to hear the gospel. You've got to hear the gospel. That's what the Scripture said. Listen, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he's not a preacher if he's not sent. Our Lord said in that same chapter, he said, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." And Peter said, "This is the Word." This is the Word. What Word? Well, he preaches the Bible. That doesn't mean he has faith. Peter said, "This is the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." Peter said, "This is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Paul said, "He called you," to the Thessalonians, "He called you," how? "By our gospel." The gospel. And Paul said in Galatians, he said, it's not another now. It's not the one they're saying. It's not the one about this Jesus who loves everybody and died for everybody and didn't save a flea. But it's up to them. That ain't the gospel. That's a perversion. That ain't even God. There's no good news at all in that. If Christ died for me and I might go to hell anyway, what good news is it that he died? What's gospel in that? If God loves me, I might go to hell anyway. What good news is there in that? That good news to you, Stan? God loves you, but you might go to hell anyway. Is that good news? Would you jump for joy? I'll tell you what is good news, Stan. God loved you before the foundation of the world, sent his son to die for you. You're going to be saved eternally. I mean, you're going to be saved. You're going to be kept by the power of God, which is the gospel. You're going to be saved, buddy. He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish." That's good news. And that's good news. I'm talking about the gospel of a sovereign God. God who is God. Ain't no good news in a God who wants to be God and can't unless you let him. What good is that? I'm stronger than he is. There's good news in the God who is God, though, and I'm in his hands. Ain't nothing going to happen to me unless he says so and does it and plans it and purposes it and decrees it and orders it and all things and sure. Oh, that's good news. That's gospel. There ain't no other gospel. A gospel of a sovereign, successful Savior, blood that saves, righteousness that covers, a Redeemer that redeems, an advocate that never lost a case. An intercessor who God always hears his prayer. A mediator who always brings everybody to God. Never lost. A shepherd who hadn't lost a one. That's the gospel. There ain't no other. Of a Holy Spirit who Christ sent and says, round them up. Christ sends His Holy Spirit and says, round them up. Everyone I died for, they got a brand on them. What is it, Lord? Blood. Got a big C branded on them. Round them up. Bring them to me. Every last one of them. And He does it. Now, there's good news in a Holy Spirit like that. That's the gospel. Ain't no good news other way. And this is the gospel a person must hear. They must hear it. They must hear it. Well, they brought him to Christ. Look at verse 32. They brought him one that was deaf and had an impediment of speech. Impediment of speech. Not only do people not hear God's word by nature, but their speech is adversely affected. And this is proof. One is proof of the other. Because people do not properly hear God's word, their speech is bad. They got bad speech. Listen to me. One who hasn't heard of God's holiness is going to be talking about their own. Right? If they hadn't heard of the absolute perfection and holiness and righteousness of God, if they hadn't heard that, they're going to be talking about their own. If they hadn't heard where God said in Isaiah 64:6 that your righteousness is a filthy rag to God, they're going to be talking about their own. I got a righteousness. They hadn't heard it, had they? They hadn't heard it. One who has not heard of God's sovereignty will be talking about his own will. One who hadn't heard where it says, God says, I have spoken it, I will do it, I have purposed it, I will bring it to pass. Ezekiel 37, I will. I'll give them a new heart. I'll save them. I'll cleanse them. I will. Where the Lord said, not my will, but thy will be done. Where the Scripture says, it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Where the Scripture says, it's not born of the will of man, or the will of flesh, but of God. If they haven't heard that, they're going to be talking about my will. Free will. Man's will. They're going to be talking about how they must accept Jesus. If they haven't heard of Ephesians 1:6, they're going to be talking about accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. But everybody who's heard it said, we are accepted. We're the ones on the auction block, sold unto sin like Hosea, like Gomer. We're the ones standing on the auction block when our blessed Redeemer comes by and says, that's the one I'm buying. And chooses and elects that one. And saves them and brings them home. She didn't even know her Redeemer was out there, did she? Gomer didn't know he was out there.
He knew her, though. That's all that mattered.
She knew afterward, didn't he? After the fact, she knew. When she went home with Gomer, or with Hosea, she knew, hey, he bought me. He sought me. He bought me. He brought me. Salvation's of Hosea. And everybody's heard that. They're going to say, salvation's of the Lord. Not me accepting him. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. For if thou hadst not chosen me, I would never have chosen thee. That's election. God's people don't have a problem with it. They've heard it. They've heard his voice. I've chosen thee. Thou didst not choose me. I've chosen thee. They've heard that. And from that day forward, that's what they say. I didn't accept him. I didn't choose him. I didn't do anything. He did it all. If they've not heard of Christ's glorious person and his finished work, they're going to be talking about their own. If they haven't heard of Christ's finished work, that is the only thing God accepts on behalf of sinners, they're going to be talking about their own. Right? They are deaf. Natural man is deaf to the voice of sovereign death.
And they're going to have to come hear it. They're going to have to hear him speak from heaven who says, I am the Lord. There's none else. You ain't a little Lord with me. Our God beside me is none else, not your will, not your decision, not you, no man, no nothing, not Satan, he ain't God. I'm God. I'm God. Beside me, there's none else. That's what they're going to have to hear. These old ears are going to have to be unstopped. And they'll talk right after that. They'll quit saying I. You know, I'll get out of their vocabulary. Men, when they see the sovereign God, they'll quit saying, I. They'll start saying, him. They'll quit singing songs about how I accepted Jesus. They'll sing hymns, H-I-M's. Hymns. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be all honor and glory and strength and power and salvation. Unto him, the Lord belongeth salvation. Him. Him. Ain't many hymns in here. You know that? There's a few. That speech impediment will leave. Verse 33. And they look at this. Verse 33. They brought him to Christ and they beseeched him. Verse 32. They beseeched him to put his hand upon him. Folks,
you ain't going to open nobody's ears. You're not going to do it. I've tried. I've talked to people. They're blue in the face. After a while, it looked like I'd learned that they shut their ears about halfway through the conversation. Right, Stan? You talk to them. Henry? They're not listening to you. Buddy, if God says you want to listen to me, that's the only time.
That's the only thing. He's the only one. It says, he took them aside. Look at this. This is good. Verse 33. He took them aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ear. Put his fingers into his ear. You know, he took him aside from the multitude. The Lord saves people individually. He saves one-on-one. He took him aside from the multitude. The Lord's going to have to take you away from the preacher, away from the soul winner. If those folks in these crusades and revivals were really seeking the Lord, when they'd come down front and some fellow get in front of them, they'd say, get out of my way. I wasn't looking for you. Preacher said, come down front, you'll be saved. Where is he? Who? The Lord. That's who I'm looking for. So when they get. That's what they say. The Lord took them aside from the multitude. Get out of this mess. He'll take you out of religion. The Hebrew says, let us go forth unto him without the camp. Without the camp. Get out of the organized religion. Get out of it. Go to where Christ is. Smattering of corn on the mountaintop, the Scripture says. That's a type of his church. Here and there. And yonder. Not everywhere. Not on every corner. A smattering. There's so much noise and confusion out there, so clamor in religion. Men and women need to hear God speak. And that's the first thing God's going to do, put his fingers in your ears and not hear man anymore. I'm not going to hear what they say anymore. Lord, would you speak to me? Would you speak to me? I've heard so many reports. I've heard this and that and the other. Would you tell me the truth? Verse 33, he took him aside, put his fingers in his ear, and he spit, or that is, the Lord spit, and touched his own tongue, and then touched the man's tongue. That's what happened. In other words, now this is God in human flesh, and he takes from his mouth and puts it in his mouth. That's the only way. That's the only way a man's going to hear God. God's going to have to close his ears and touch his mouth. He's going to have to close his ears and open his ears. And if a man's going to speak the truth, going to do away with his speech impediment, God's going to have to take a coal from the altar and put it on his lip. Blister his lip. You know what the first thing blistered lips do to you? Have you ever had blistered lips or a fever blister on your lip?
You don't feel much like talking, do you?
That's what Isaiah said in chapter 6. He said that he took a coal and put it on my lip. You don't feel much. First thing God, when he touches you, is he shuts your mouth. I'm a man of unclean lips. But this is from God's mouth to his mouth. That's what this was. Look at verse 34. And he looked up to heaven. Christ did, that is. Christ looked up to heaven and sighed and saith unto him, Ephatha. That is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. His ears were open, and his tongue was loosened. What were his ears open to? What was the first thing the man heard? He heard the master's voice. That's the first thing he heard. The master's voice. The voice of the sovereign cry. That's the first thing he heard. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Huh?
That's what Fanny Crosby, who wrote so many hymns, who was blind, born blind. Somebody asked her if she had any regrets about being born blind. She said, oh, no. She said, you know why? She said, because when I awake in glory, the first face I'm going to see is Christ.
And I tell you what. That subject, you'll hear of a Christ crucified, a sovereign Christ. That's what you'll hear. Not until then. And tongue loose. His tongue was loose. And says he spake plain. What do you reckon he said? What do you reckon the first thing out of his mouth was? Says he spake plain. Say it doesn't say what he said. I believe I know what he said. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what he said. Prove it. But he didn't. I believe he did. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dream. And then it says, then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. He loosened the tongue. Nobody's ever going to sing these praises until they really believe that God did save them. His tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. Paul said, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. What did he say? What did he say? He said, salvation is of the Lord. He said, it's of the Lord's mercies that I'm healed. He said, this whole thing's of grace, is what he said. He spoke plainly. He said, I mean grace. I didn't do anything. Grace. G-R-A-C-E, he said. And that's sovereign. Ain't no other kind. If it's grace, it's got to be sovereign. Do you know that? You know, you don't need to add that word to it. If it's grace, it's got to be sovereign. If it's mercy, it's got to be sovereign. Think about it. Go and learn what that means. Ain't no other kind of grace but sovereign grace. Yeah, it's grace. It's no more works. If it was works, it'd be grace. Right? That's what the man said. He spoke plainly. How do you say? Grace?
Grace.
Speak plainly, man.
Grace.
Read my lips. How will you say? That Christ. Who did it? You and him? Nope. Him. He spoke plainly. Him. Not me. Not unto us. Not by works of righteousness. Him. How'd you receive your sight? He gave it to me. He spoke plainly.
He gave it to me.
How'd you receive your hearing?
He opened them. He opened them.
That's death. He spoke plainly. And folks, I'm just here to tell you, I'm just going to say it plainly.
Anybody that speaks otherwise ain't heard his voice. And I use ain't for emphasis. Ain't heard his voice. Or else they speak plainly of Christ. All their speech would be of Christ.
All right, turn over to chapter 8 now, very quickly. A few more minutes. I spent 35 minutes on one. I had 10 more to spend on the other. Ah, boy. This is tough. Try it sometime. I said a while ago in the morning Bible study, I said, you need 5 hours on Romans 8, or Romans 3:15, is it? 25? And you know what? I didn't even touch it. John, I didn't touch it. I had 5 minutes, I didn't touch it. Brother Ralph will. He'll give you another 45 minutes. He'll start there. Get 45 minutes and he'll touch on it. Chapter 8, it's about the healing of a blind man. Mark 8, verse 22. He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Same thing here. This man was blind. He had to be brought to Christ. And they asked Christ, Lord, he's blind. Heal him. Lord, only you can heal him. Heal him. They besought him. Anybody you know that's blind to the truth? Do you know anybody, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, that he was blind to the truth? I mean, they don't see it. You can show it to them. Henry, you know anybody? Poor Henry. The public comes into his filling station, you know, and they just load him down with their religion. And most of them are blind, aren't they? You know anybody's blind to the truth? Just blind. You can show it to them in black and white. Here's what it says here. I don't see that. Well, that's what it says. I don't see it. But it says it. How about you, Stan? It says it. I don't see it. You're blind. Well,
who's going to heal him? Then you quit trying. And start asking him, who's the only one that can.
Beseech him, Lord. She's blind. You're going to have to make her see. I've tried, and I failed. You make her see. You want somebody's eyes open, a relative, a friend, start beseeching him. Beseech. You know what that means? I beg you. I beg you. Verse 23, Mark 8, 23. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. There he is, Henry. Come on, let's get out of here. He took that blind man and a whole big crowd of people. And people are just, come on, let's get out of here. That kind of made me think of being a big, huge crusade coming to town. We have them, don't we? Little old Rocky Mount has them. These vultures, these preachers come in. They swoop down on this town, you know, these highfalutin, big-name Hollywood-style fellas and women that come in here, and they had their big crusades, and it's announced all over town,
you better get out of town the day that happened.
Get out of town. Find you a little country church. And not necessarily the truth in the country churches either, but Spurgeon preached in a mighty big city church. At any rate, find you the country preacher. I wrote that down. Country, that doesn't mean you're a good preacher. Country preacher. Woo, some of those are. Woo. At any rate, get away from the religious hoopla and Hollywood, from the extravaganza of religion. You know, all the saying and swaying and swooping and whooping. Get away from all that. All that entertainment, and you find a man somewhere who's actually preaching. I mean actually preaching the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. A man that says, open your Bible to Romans 1, we're going to go verse by verse and see what God says. Find somebody like that. That's how God speaks.
He doesn't speak through a man's emotion. Just because a man gets emotional doesn't mean God's in it. Just because a man speaks loud doesn't mean he's got power. Elijah heard a still small boy. He saw thunder and lightning and all that. Didn't hear God. He heard a still small boy. Just because a man looks the part doesn't mean he is. Probably means he isn't. Just because there's a song that swayed you and tingles up your spine doesn't mean that God's in it. Huh? When you hear Christ preach, that's where God is. When you hear God exalted and man abased, that's where God is.
Where God is. Get out of town. Find somebody that's doing that. Find a man who's more interested in you knowing God than himself.
What was your name again? A man that won't even greet you at the back door. Because he didn't come here for you to see him. He wants you to see who God is. Find you a man who's more interested in God's glory than man's approval.
Find you a man who's preaching
sovereign mercy and sovereign grace in Jesus Christ and lays man in the dust and calling on God to do the saving, not on men. Find that man.
Get out of town. You have to get out of town to find him. And you might see the glory of God if you did. Verse 23, it says that God, Christ, look at it, verse 23. Took the man by the hand, led him out of town, spit. I believe he did just what he did with that deaf man. He spit with on his fingers and touched his eyes and put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw anything. Do you see anything? He took it from his mouth. Again, now, this is God took from his mouth. That's the word. You're going to see it in his book. If you're going to hear, you're going to hear it from his book. He touched his mouth and touched the man's eye. He said, what do you see? What do you see? Verse 24, the man said, I see men, but they look like trees. I take my glasses off. That's what you look like. You know, you could be sitting there starting naked, and I wouldn't know it right now. I wouldn't know it at all. I can't see you, Bill. This man's way saw, spiritually. This is the way man is by nature. Spirit. When God begins a work, Stan, your own case. You would admit this, wouldn't you? When God first began opening your eyes to the truth, how much did you know? For that matter, how many years has it been? How much do you know now, Stan? You say, well, I see some things. I see some things, but we all see through a glass dimly. I preach. Oh, man, it's pitiful preaching. It's the reason I run out of here sometime, I think. That's the worst. We preach in part. We know in part. We see in part. But I tell you what a man will see when God first begins to open his eyes. Like I said, he'll see God as God. What do you see? He'll see man as what he is, just a creature. I see men as trees walking. Trees walking. You remember that illustration of the, well, he'll see God's glory in salvation, something of it, all of it. Do you see, John Davis, God saved you for his glory?
I mean, for his glory. He said it, didn't he? He said, I'm not doing this for your sake, but for my holy name's sake, whom you profane. Do you see election? You see it, don't you? But you really don't see it, John. Someday you're going to see it. You're going to see your buddies. You're going to see your cronies. You're going to see your friends, your family maybe, in hell. While you are with Christ. Then you're going to see, He elected me. Right? I believe in election. Do you now? If you saw that every time I said the word, you'd say, what? You would. Wouldn't you? If we really saw that, Henry. Not another Henry. You. God elected you. Right? Christ, person and work. How much do we see of His person? Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who shall their greatness declare? His person and His work. Imputed righteousness. Could you even say the word? John Sheasley, could you even say the word when the Lord began to open your eyes? You believe in? I believe imputed, impotence, imparted, impotence. But if they asked you, how are you accepted with God? You'd say, Christ. A man would say, it's imputed righteousness, John. It's imputed righteousness that Christ lived a life for you. It's not you living the life. It's Christ living it for you and giving that to you. You say, that's right. That's right. Imputed. That's right. Right? Later on, you learn to pronounce it. Like shibboleth. You remember that story? That shibboleth. And there's some fellows that would claim you're unsaved if you couldn't say shibboleth. Go learn what that means. All right. Mr. Thief on the Cross, what do you know? What do you know? What do you see? What do you know? What do you see? What have you heard? I know He's Lord. And if I get the glory, He's going to have to take that. That's salvation. I see men as trees walking. And later on, you'll see more clearly. You'll see the knot holes. You'll see all of that. You'll see those things. Well, He put His hands on Him. Again, look at it. Verse 25, and I quit. He put His hands upon His eyes and made him look up. I just saw that. I didn't see it the first time. And He made him look up. Don't look at that priest. Don't look at... Look yonder, hanging on that cross. Look up. Look up. Under the hills, from whence cometh your help. Mount Calvary. And He was restored and He saw every man clearly. I see clearly now. What do you see now? I see God. I see God. He is God. Ain't no doubt in my mind. He's God. What do you see? He's God. What do you see about yourself in the Word? I'm filthy. What do you see about Christ? He's salvation. Have you had your ears and eyes open? All right, I hope so. All right, what's that hymn, Joe? 236, isn't it? Maybe, just maybe, you can sing hymn number 236. Hymn number 236, verse 1. Just maybe you can sing this now from the heart. I don't know if I can. Verse 1 says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. A wretch like me. I once was lost, But now I'm found. I was... Finish it. But now I see. Okay.
Let's sing a couple of those. Stand with me. Sing the first and the third stanza. First and the third.
Father, we do beseech you that you would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf as only you can. We beseech you on behalf of many and ourselves. Oh Lord, open my eyes, open my ears, continue to open them until we see him as he is and hear his wonderful voice. In Christ's name we met. Amen. You're dismissed.